Well, I was going to get up and ask that if you wanted something to pray for, pray that my voice holds out without coughing my head off for the sermon. But as I was putting the remaining part of the cough drop back in the little wrapper, I don't know if you've noticed. Have you noticed Hall's cough drops? They have little sayings on them. I don't know if you've ever noticed. And as I'm putting it up, I'm noticing on the wrapper, it says, "You've survived tougher." And so, you know, I'm going to survive this today, one way or the other. I'd like to welcome everybody, especially our visitors that we have with us. We have two families from Tennessee. Have no idea if you're from the same city, same congregation or whatever, but this couple right here are friends with Mark and Karen Mokry. So a number of us know them, and we welcome you. We welcome Yvonne back. She has been in San Diego for quite some time. Yvonne was visiting last year, her daughter, and worshipped with us quite a bit, was baptized last year, and is back visiting. So we welcome Yvonne. Anybody else that is visiting with us, we give you a special welcome. Today, it's not a very fun sermon to preach. In fact, it's kind of depressing to me. And if you grabbed an outline from the back table, it's titled "Why People Don't Want God," and it kind of floors me. Why people don't want God in their lives, and I'd like to look at some of these different things. It kind of astounds me that people don't want God. Garrett read the scripture reading today. That's the scripture we're going to be starting off with. John 4, verse 23 and 24. It says, "But the hour is coming," and this is as true for us today as it was the day that it was written. "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him." Amen. He is actively seeking us who is worshiping him that way. In verse 24 it says, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." We have to worship in spirit and truth. It can't just be from our heart. It can't be in the proper spirit without the proper doctrine. And it can't be the other way around either. It can't be with all the right teachings and the right scriptures, but our heart far from God. One of the reasons that I've observed, and I will never ever try to judge somebody's heart because I don't know, but some of the things that I've observed people is, a lot of people want God in their lives, but they want him on their terms. Amen. And that goes for people in the world, in denominations, and we even need to take heed that it doesn't apply to us.
Amen.
A lot of people don't want to sacrifice anything. It takes too much time. I'm too busy. They don't want to have to change anything in their lives. And as a result, we see a lot of denominations that advertise to those people, "Come as you are. You know, we'll adjust worship times for you. We'll adjust worship days for you." Some people have the attitude, "Not right now. I got too many things going on. I got kids in soccer. I got kids in school plays. I got this, that. Work is just so hectic. Going 90 miles an hour, maybe when things slow down, I'll have God in my life." In Luke 9, verse 23, this is Jesus talking. It says, "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's a tough act to swallow right there. Deny himself. That is not real palatable. That is not something that a lot of people want to do. Deny yourself. What do you mean I can't have my cake and eat it too? Deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Changing, repenting, altering your life to fit God's word is not always easy, but it's always taught. Rather than the flip side of the coin, finding a religious body that will accept what you do. There's plenty of those out there. But Jesus is saying, deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me. In John 8, the next book over, in John 8, starting in verse 2, we see this lesson could stand on its own as an entire sermon right here, but we're going to read verses 2 through 11. Now, early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. I'm gonna pause there for a second. Wonder where the guy is. Why didn't they bring the guy with them? But they brought this woman that was caught in the very act. In verse 5 it says, Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. They didn't care what Jesus, they didn't want to know what he had to say. They weren't inquiring of Jesus, the Son of God, for better understanding. They weren't wanting him to clarify. They were testing him. We see their heart right away. Maybe the male guilty person, and this was maybe even one of them, setting this woman up. We don't know. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. He never condoned what she was doing. He wasn't disagreeing with necessarily what Moses had taught. Which one of you without sin, pick up a rock. You throw the stone first. Verse 8, and again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. It wasn't that Jesus was condoning sin. He wasn't going to be the one to throw a stone at her. Jesus didn't condone sin. He called on her to repent. That's not always easy for people to do. Amen. People don't like to repent. He called on her to repent. They wanted punishment. Jesus wanted repentance. Goes into the same concept Paul does in 1 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 9. It says, this is Paul talking, Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? That's fairly black and white. That's pretty straightforward. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Such were some of you. This could be written to us. The sin that we've got in our lives that is condemned in the Word of God. And such were some of you. But it goes on to say, the good news. But you were washed. You were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Some people don't want God in their life because they don't want to change. Every one of us has had sin in our lives. Amen. Jesus told the woman, go and sin no more. Paul is telling them, and such were some of you, talking about these sins. That's where repentance comes in. Acts 24, starting in verse 24. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Now, first of all, isn't this some of the very things that the world does not want to hear? They don't want God in their lives because they don't want to hear about this righteousness stuff. They don't want to hear about having to have self-control. And they especially don't want to hear about the judgment to come. Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. He just wanted to, stop talking. I don't want to hear it anymore. Kind of playing the ostrich, putting his head in the sand, that if I don't hear it, it won't be so. Just because we don't want to hear it doesn't mean it's not so. Amen. Number two on our list. Sometimes people don't want God in their life, maybe because they have a misunderstanding of worship. Maybe they have a misunderstanding of God Himself. Maybe they want to worship God, but they want to do it on their own terms. I'll do it Saturday. We can find plenty in this community, plenty of religious bodies that will offer, you can worship God early Saturday morning. Have the rest of the weekend to yourself. You're busy, you deserve it. We'll alter that. How they worship. Maybe they have a misunderstanding of worship, of how it should be done. That it's entertainment. That they want to feel good. When I go to worship, I want to leave feeling good. I have never, ever seen in God's Word where the reason we come to worship Him is to feel good. Now, when we do worship God, it makes me feel good. It does make me feel good to know I've worshiped God in the proper way. But when we come together as a body, it is to worship our Creator. It is to worship the God and the Father of Jesus. Jesus, the one that provided us salvation. We come to worship, not to be entertained. Maybe go plenty of religious places. Well, they feel compelled. I've got to go because I play the drums in the band. I got to be there. I run the soundboard. I run the light system for the production. Some see Christianity as just so condemning. They have a misunderstanding. Those Christians are just so condemning and so unloving. You're always preaching against sin. Yeah, That's what Jesus preached against. You're always preaching about having to be baptized. What's the use of even preaching if you're not telling somebody how to be saved? You guys are always keeping track of when I'm there and when I'm not. You know, you don't have to come Sunday night. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you have to be there Sunday night. You're absolutely right. You don't have to. You guys, never let women be leaders. Have you ever heard the, come on, this is the 21st century. Have you ever heard that from people? Maybe they have the misconception of God, and they see God as more of a Santa Claus rather than a just God that will punish sin. Romans 6:23 says it very plainly, the wages of sin is death. Jesus says in Luke 13:3, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Some people equate a big church with success, thinking that the bigger it is, the more God will love them. We must be doing some right. We've got, 5,000 people that worship. We want various programs. They confuse the concept, and they have a different understanding of what worship and what God even is, and they confuse the idea of maybe the concept of a boys and girls club with various programs and activities and different things for the kids to do and so forth, rather than that we meet here to worship God, and it is a place of religious training and of worship. Many are willing to compromise, whether it be worship, when to worship, how to worship, God's leaders, you name it. Many confuse this idea that is so prevalent today, this idea of the health and wealth gospel. That if you're a true Christian, you're going to be blessed financially. You'll be blessed with good health. Well, what's the flip side of that coin? It says that if you're not rich, God doesn't love you. That's what that health and wealth gospel is saying. And then they get disappointed when things don't go smooth in their life. And when God doesn't blame, they blame God or get discouraged. Some don't want to include God and include Bible study in their lives, whether it be at home or Bible class. Some don't go to Bible class, and that's their choice. Maybe they don't like the class. Maybe they don't like the subject or the teacher. I've heard, I already know that. I've already heard this before. Seems like to me, Jesus preached a lot of times the same message over and over and over to the same people. Seems like to me. Hey, one of the greatest things side notes of coming to worship is being able to be with Christians. You know, to be accountable to each other. Matthew 13, starting in verse 1, it says, on the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. I didn't see him complaining here, we don't have comfortable seats. Hurry up, Jesus, wind it up, come on, we're out in the sun here. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And this wraps up this idea, a lot of people's, not only misconception, but there are various kinds of people. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. and some fell among thorns. And the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then if you skip down a few verses to verse 18, Jesus explains this parable. Make sure, I told you once, I just want to make sure you understand it. Because by the look on some of your faces, maybe you don't get it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. I've already told you the parable, but hear it. Understand it. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. How many people have you seen that are so excited as a new Christian? They're full of vim, vigor, and vitality, and they're ready to set the world on fire, and then the new wears off. Or, like it said there in verse 21, when tribulation or persecution, when it's called on them to deny themselves and take up their cross. Verse 22, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Jesus said in Matthew 7, this is a verse that in fact, we even used it again in Bible class this morning. You hear this verse an awful lot from me from this pulpit. Matthew 7, starting in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Number three, some want God in their lives, but they decide to want him too late. It finally breaks through that heart. Maybe the busyness of life slows down, and now that we've got the kids raised, and now that you know all that stuff at work is settling down, maybe they want God now, but maybe it's too late. I always think of Noah and the ark. Noah had over 100 years that he was preaching to the people to repent about God. They didn't want it. We don't want to hear it. You're a crazy old coot that's building some big contraption over there. We don't want to hear what you have to say. And then when the door was closed and it started raining, and we're not talking about a rain the other day. This rain was a violent upheaval as of biblical proportions. That's what comes to mind. The ground was erupting up. Water was gushing up. It was flood. It had never rained before. Water's gushing out of the sky. Noah, tell me about that again. Let me in. I want to hear some more. It was too late. They wanted it then. It was too late. Some people don't want to hear or have time for Jesus. But on that day that he returns and the day of judgment, I wonder what their story is going to be. Matthew 16, verse 26 and 27. Jesus says, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father and with angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." I wonder if those people that had put off wanting God in their lives, I wonder if all that money they made will be worth losing their soul. I wonder if the time they spent on having fun and recreation and taking kids to soccer games, and I wonder if that will be worth it. I wonder if all the time that they put into that big promotion, when they finally got that promotion, will it have been worth losing their soul? Matthew 12, verse 37. It says, "But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him." It happened then. It happens now. Although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. Personally, I don't understand it. I know I can't judge somebody from my vision. I can't judge somebody from something that I understand and they don't, or whatever. I don't get some people. I don't get a lot of the people in the world. How they cannot believe in God, how they cannot want God in their lives. It's tough. I couldn't imagine going through the toughness of life without God in my life. Again, I'm not judging. I don't understand some Christians. Maybe the lack of commitment. I'm one of those freak people. I tend to just, I pour myself into stuff. I did it as a child. I like to think I still do. I think it was how many years? I was telling the girls the other day, I was telling them, some of your excuses for missing practice, I'm not buying them. They're not valid, they're not valid reasons. They're excuses. I never missed practice. I don't miss work. I don't know, in 30 years, I bet you it's in the mid to high 20s of how many perfect days I've had. I remember missing when Bobby was born. What was that, 26 years ago? I was at practice at 2, though. Missed school, was at practice. Remember missing when Stacy had surgery. When my dad died, I put that into, I try to relate that to church. I try not to miss worship. The thing is, all we can do is preach to people. All we can do is preach to others. You can't force people to want God in their lives. Amen. You can't guilt them into wanting to be here. This is not a thing of guilt. I'm glad people were here. The other day, I think we set a Sunday evening record for attendance. We had, fellowship and food and all this stuff. I tell you, feed people, they'll come. People criticize that concept. I wish they would have been here because they wanted to anyway. But I'll tell you, I'm glad they were here. And I hope they keep coming. All we can do is preach and be the best example for people that we can. The best we can do for the people that we work with outside, in our neighborhoods, our neighbors, and people here. We can't guilt them. We can't force them. We can't handcuff people and drag them kicking and screaming into church. That does no good. All we can do is preach and be the best example. I'd like to close up with just a couple of few more scriptures. 1 Peter 3:15. The Apostle Peter says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Can't beat them about the head. Can't just, pound them into the church from outside. But you can always have a ready defense for anybody that asks us. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. We've heard this scripture numerous times. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Not everybody likes reproof. For correction. Not everybody likes that. For instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And the last scripture I'd like to look at is 2 Timothy 4:2, the very next chapter over. Paul tells Timothy, preach the word. Timothy, you preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort. And how? With all long suffering and teaching. Don't beat people about the head with the Bible. Don't hog time and drag them into the church. Preach the word. As we go into this next week, I encourage us. We're going to encounter a lot of people that don't want God in their lives for one reason or the other. Be the best example to them. Be ready to give that ready defense for the hope that is in us. If you need to respond to the invitation through prayers, repentance, if you need to be baptized, we have the opportunity now. Whatever your need, please come forward while Steve leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand.
Loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Good. I'll say again that welcome all our visitors here that are with us today. I see quite a few, and I'm certainly, I know I'm very proud and happy to see you here, and I hope you've seen something, heard something that will stir you to come back and visit us again. The door is always open Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, Wednesday evenings. All our teachers are here, so come back and avail of some of God's word here. In the bulletin, I hope everyone picked up a bulletin. There are some things that need to be added to it. There is a business meeting next Sunday after worship, directly after worship. It's the second Sunday of the month. That isn't in the bulletin, but that's our normal schedule. The men of the congregation need to look on the back of the bulletin. The servers, those who serve during the formal part of our meeting, are there listed on the back. So look at that and be prepared to serve next week. Also, you can notice the ones in the bulletin, all the prayer requests. There's quite a few of them. And there are some dates in there. Also, I have two that were given. An update on L.A. Mott. He's a relative of the Huskins family. He is, well, let me read it. Test results show cancer does not respond to treatment, and he won't be able to bear the treatment, I guess. Chemo is 50-50. Things don't look real prosperous, so please continue to keep the Huskins family and L.A. Mott in our help, in our prayers. Also, again, with the Huskins family, Samuel's grandmother is getting worse. And she's staying with an uncle, and her name's Linda Wilson. That's Samuel Wilson's grandmother. So keep them in your prayers also. Also, you can read about the ones that need prayers. Also, the cancer victims. Unfortunately, we have way too many. I wish it wasn't that way, but it seems to be the way it is. also, remember our military, those who have served, those are presently serving. Keep them in your prayers. Also, those that keep us safe here at home. The men in blue that are around, or in our case here in Las Vegas, the men in brown. Keep them all in our prayers also. That's all that I'm aware of. Please bow with me and we'll have a prayer. Our Father in heaven, we're extremely grateful, thankful unto you that once again we've been permitted to gather together in this place. We've heard another couple of lessons from your word. We understand that we are to study your word and that we might learn to be better Christians, better examples to those around us. We pray that we would take that to mind and forever strive to be better Christians, better persons, better examples to those about us. We're extremely mindful of our number that have been mentioned that are ill. We pray for their recovery, if that's possible. We pray that the ones tending to them might be blessed and they might be comforted to know you and that well, the great power of prayer can do. We pray as for all our teachers and our song leaders, for everyone of this local congregation that meets together from time to time to worship you. We pray that all we do and all we say is in accordance with your will and a glory unto you. We pray that you watch over us, forgive us where we fall short of your glory as we strive to do better all the time. All these things we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen.
The reference I used, Matthew 12:37, is incorrect. I couldn't find where it is. I will find it by tonight. I wrote down the wrong verse.